Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, tonight's message, New Believer's Course, is the series we're in. In session three tonight, Commitment to a Life of Prayer. What we are doing in each one of these sessions in this series is we are aiming at really trying to help equip the members of our congregation in some of the simple, just, you know, if we could just give a handful of tools to put on our tool belt to help disciple new believers. It is going to be a lifelong reality that each of you is going to be bringing new believers into the faith, encountering new believers, and you know, seeing your friends come to know Jesus, and others you know, joining our church that are beginning their walk with Christ. And the role of a discipler is so impacting, so influential in the life of a new believer. And so we're doing this course for the new believers, but really more for everybody who's not. That you would have the tools, that you would have the some quick connection points of what you can hand off to new believers as a gift to them to help them in their way. So tonight's message, we're going to be looking at a commitment to a life of prayer. And each one of these I've entitled a commitment to, because it doesn't do a new believer enough to be exposed to an idea. We want to invite them into the lifestyle, into a commitment to these things. And so tonight, as we look into this, this subject, really what we're talking about in a commitment to a life of prayer is a commitment to the relationship. You guys have heard me say this before, but any relationship, the foundation of that relationship is communication. And I just even think about, you know, if you've ever had any interaction with people that were born deaf or that were made that way. Communication is not extracted from their world. Communication is still as important, if not more important, than those who can speak and who can hear hear well. Communication just looks different, but communication is essential for two people to be able to have a relationship together. They communicate in sign, they communicate in nonverbal communication, through their eyes, through smiles. Communication is essential for any relationship. And what we're looking at in this course for new believers is, how do we help that new believer? They just gave their life to Jesus. They want to know the Lord deeper. That God has plans for their life. He has a destiny over their life. How do we help them give good foundation to that relationship, to their walk with Jesus? The first thing that we can do is we need to tell them they just were brought into relationship and not into a religion. The difference between Christianity and every other religion on the face of the earth is every other religion is a lie. Every other religion is about religious practices. Christianity is about a relationship with a man. Now, the man happens to live in a far-off place. He doesn't happen to live in his physical flesh right next door, where talking to him is the same as talking to us, talking to a friend or a family member. But we need to talk to a new believer and help them understand the reality of a relationship, and that religion needs to be the furthest thing from their mind. When they're given the card that says, "What's your religion? Check one," we need to have them actually write into the ballot and go, "What is my relationship? It's with Jesus. I have no religion. I have a relationship with the Son of God." It's so different. Because when a new believer begins to process their life through the reality that they are in a relationship with a very caring, kind-hearted, and holy God, when they start to think about, "I'm in a relationship," they start to think about, well, there are certain things in a relationship I don't want to do because I don't want to burn the bridges with my friends. You know, when I get mad at one of my friends, I don't normally punch him in the face. It burns a bridge. You punch him in the face. Now, sometimes I might feel like punching him in the face, but I don't punch him in the face because that burns a bridge and it separates friendship. It distances relationship. And so when you start to talk to a new believer about what it is they just signed up for, please don't tell them they joined the religion of Christianity. Tell them they entered into the most awesome relationship that they could possibly ever enter into. And, oh yeah, by the way, he's God. Now, if they start to process their life through the lens of a relationship with Jesus, it's very, very different. And to the point that I was making a minute ago about communication is the most essential part of a relationship. In Christianity, in knowing God, the way that we talk to God, the way that we communicate with him, it's called prayer. And so if we're going to call a new believer, a young, you know, heart that's trying to engage the Lord, if we're going to call them into genuine relationship with Jesus, we have to talk to them about what prayer is and how prayer works and the importance of prayer. Even if they don't understand all the ins and outs. I don't understand all the ins and outs of prayer, but I sure do it. And I'm glad I do because it strengthens my relationship with Jesus. So we tell them that Jesus is real. Can I just tell you? So many people in the church grow up their whole life thinking Jesus is a religion. Thinking that Jesus is a historical figure. Thinking that Jesus is only far off in heaven and not here and close as well. We need to tell a new believer, Jesus is more real than your mama. You need to know that Jesus is more real than your best friend, than your boss. He's a real person. He's not fake or mythical or old or gone or, you know, far off. He is a real person. We need to tell them that Jesus is real and you can really talk to him because he's a real person. New believers need to understand this concept. I mean, there's so many that would be told the Bible is, you know, important and, you know, going to church is important. They need to know the reality. He is a real person and he is on the other end of that phone call. When you call out to him in prayer, he's on the other end listening because he's real. They need to picture him as real. And you as a discipler, you as a voice who knows Jesus, you as one who has walked in a relationship with Jesus for a period of time, you are the one to tell them that and you are the one to lead them into that understanding. And it will be an incredible gift that you can give a new believer. Tell them he's real. And because he's real, you can talk to him. Look what, what Jesus said in John chapter 7, 37 through 39. Jesus talking about this reality of him being real and actually him sending the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of believers that know him and how we can fellowship with him, how this relationship goes. You know, if Jesus weren't real, like all the false religions, then there would be no way to have a communing relationship. There would be no benefits in following him or not following him because he wasn't real. I mean, if you know, it's like somebody who pretends to have a job, you know, at the Apple store. They go to the Apple store every day and they wear the shirt, okay? And, you know, they stole the shirt from some guy. And they wear the shirt and they show up every day and they pretend to clock in. They use their credit card through the little clock in swipe, okay? They pretend to clock in. They stay there all day. They have to look at, you know, get past the weird looks all day because people are trying to, like, get them out of the store because they're loitering. And at the end of the day, they, like, want to know, at the end of the week, they want to know where their paycheck is. It's like, bro, that was fake. Your relationship here at the Mac store is fake. You're not really on hired hand here. You're not an employee here. You are living in la-la land. You're in a fake reality. And the majority are all of the religions of the earth, it's that sort of thing. It's people thinking that they've bought into a real system and it's false and fake and not real. And there's no reward. Like the guy working at the Mac store that's not working at the Mac store. There's no reward, but for those who know Jesus, there are rewards because Jesus is real. You know this. You need to tell them with passion like I'm telling you with passion. You need to convince them Jesus is real. You didn't click the box, I'm a Christian now, walk the altar, make a decision, done. You entered into a relationship with a real person. And that real person promises us some wild rewards. Just look at this passage in John. Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit. Because Jesus is real, he sends the Spirit to live in the new believer. And the new believer now has access to these rivers. And 5 minutes before they gave their life to Jesus, they had no access to these rivers. These rivers are wild. The Holy Spirit living within. We need to tell new believers that Jesus is real and that the Holy Spirit now comes to dwell within, and we have the opportunity now to interact with and relate to Jesus. And we need to tell them that prayer is the relation, is the way to the relationship. Prayer is the point of communication. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. I gave you a little cutout here of the Lord's Prayer. We all know the prayer, but think about what Jesus is saying here. The gist of what Jesus is saying is, you can talk to the Father. Well, how many Father gods are there? One. And you as a believer in Jesus can talk to him, the one Father sitting on the throne. You can talk to him about your life. You can talk to him about the stuff you need. You can talk to him about how jacked up you are. You can talk to the Father. And not only can you, you should. We want to tell new believers, you should talk to the Father. And you have access. And Jesus, modeling it, says this. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. However far off heaven is, I believe it is a 100% physical place somewhere in the universe. I don't know where, but it's a real place. There's too many details in the book of Revelation about the streets and the thises and the that. It's a real physical place with real dimensions. I don't know how far off it is. A bajillion miles? I don't know. However far off it is, it's a real place with a real geographical Google universe pinpoint. Okay? There is a real place where heaven is. Now, I don't know how far it is, but it's far. And here's what Jesus says. You can talk to him even though he's far. Our Father in heaven, Google Universe, 0.00013333337.2. Location. You can talk to him there. Our Father in heaven, give us today our daily bread. You can talk to him about the needs of your day. Forgive us our debts. You can talk to him about the fact that you've got sin and issues in your life. Lead us not into temptation. You can ask him to help you with your problems. And deliver us from the evil one. You can ask for grace and strength to come on you to help you in your life, to help you overcome stuff. New believers need to know this stuff. They need to be invited into the reality of a life of prayer where they can talk to the Father, who's a far, far away Father who could not be any closer. While his geographical location is heaven, his access point through prayer is a whisper away. And Jesus said, this is how you pray. Our Father who's far away in heaven, I'm going to pray right now and I know you'll hear me in one split second. And that you'll hear me and respond. They need to know they signed up for a real deal relationship that's walked out through prayer. And without prayer, no matter how much they read their Bible, without prayer, no matter how much they fellowship with believers, without prayer, no matter how much they do this or how much they do that, without prayer, they are missing the point of the relationship. The relationship is about communication. They got to talk to God. The kindness that we can do for somebody that just gave their life to Jesus by telling them he's real and he wants you to talk to him and he wants you to learn to listen. We want to call them not just to date the concept of prayer. Well, you know, pray, you know, on Friday nights every now and then. And, you know, I mean, if you don't really like prayer, you don't really have to keep doing it. We want to call them into a life of devotion to the place of prayer. Look what Paul said in Colossians 4:2. You guys know the passage. But just think about this bit of wisdom for the new believer. I'm talking somebody that just gave their life to Jesus. They've known Jesus for weeks, months, a year, and they don't know this point. Says, new believer, devote yourself to prayer. being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too. Devote yourself to prayer. We don't want to advertise prayer as a good idea. We want to tell them, be bad at a lot of things. Don't be bad at prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. If you can only be good at a few things in this life, make this one of the top things out of everything on the planet. Well, I'm really into sports. Let sports completely fall apart. Devote yourself to prayer. Well, but I've really got this thing going. I really like this. Those are all great. That's fine. Don't let that get in the way of being devoted to prayer. Well, I've really got too much on my plate. I think I could give myself to prayer a little bit. Terrible idea, new believer. Terrible idea. I know you're new at this. I'm here to help. Terrible idea. You want to devote yourself to prayer. And then we'll figure out how to pick up the pieces of you missed a few workouts and you weren't able to be as awesome at this and you know, this struggled a little. Devote yourself to prayer. Do you know why Paul told the church of Colossians to devote themselves to prayer? Because they needed to hear somebody say it to them. They needed to hear a human being whom they trusted, who they had some relational equity with, tell them, look them in the eye, if you will, through this pen written on paper, devote yourself to prayer. And you just imagine all the Colossians going, man, I got all these reasons. And Paul enters, he goes right back at it and he goes, devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful. Be thankful. And you just imagine the hearts of those that are hearing going, man, this is tough. And pray for us too, as though they had these excuses rising up in their heart. Paul just hits it. I mean, he says the same thing four times. Devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful in the place of prayer. Be thankful, that's prayer. Oh, and yeah, by the way, also pray. I mean, he just goes after it. He's saying, make your life about a devotion to prayer. Why would Paul pick on this spiritual discipline? That's a term that we use. And I'm liking it less and less these days, that term, because it sounds dirty and boring. Why does Paul pick on prayer out of all the things to be devoted to? Because it is the essence of the relationship between God and man. And the only way by which a human being can have communication with God and really relationship is through prayer. Now, prayer is the starting point, not the end point. If you pray all day and commit yourself to a life of sin, you got some serious issues and you're off. But if you commit yourself to do all these great works of justice and you don't have a prayer life, you have very little or no relationship with Jesus. Bad. Be bad at something else. Don't be bad at prayer. We need to raise up new believers with the understanding they are to be committed to a life of prayer. We will do them so well. Well, what does a prayer life look like? I just want to give you three little 1-2-3s. If you're going to remember anything from tonight and you're thinking, what am I going to tell a new believer? First, remember that you're saved and how awesome that is, and talk to them about the relationship. That's a really good starting point, okay? So get them all jazzed up about Jesus, because he's awesome. Get them all jazzed up, and then when they're finally ready and they're looking at me like, or they're looking at you like some of you are looking at me right now, like, okay, well, now what? What do we do? Once they're like ready and hungry, give them three things to do. Three things. First, develop set prayer times in your life, new believer. Develop set prayer times. Well, you mean like set times in my day, in my week where I sit down and I'm going to pray? Yes. You mean like I set myself to like sleep at a certain time and then get up at a certain time? You want me to set times of prayer into my life? Yes. So like I schedule dinner, I schedule going out to the movies, I schedule going to church. You want me to schedule times where I pray? Yes, exactly. Schedule times. Why? Because if they schedule times, they'll do it more. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. It's the reason that we have a work schedule. Those of you who are employed, your employer, instead of saying, yeah, you work here, just come whenever. Just, it'll be sweet. We'll pay you the same either way. Just come some. There's a reason there's a schedule. because you'll show up to work more if you're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock and stay till 5 or whatever. They will pray more. And remember, Paul said, be devoted to prayer. What could that possibly mean except schedule it into your life? Tell them to schedule it in. And if they're like, well, should I do it this way or should I do it that way? Help them with all that stuff. They're like, well, should I do it when I, should I schedule my prayer time when I'm really, really, really tired? No. You should plan sleep when you're really, really tired. You know? Well, should I schedule it when I'm really, really distracted? No. What is wrong with you? Don't ask such questions. Schedule it when you're fresh. Schedule it when your mind can be engaged. Schedule it with a cup of coffee in your hand. That's my style anyway. Schedule it in such a way that you'll be successful. Don't schedule it in a way that you know you're going to fail. You know, I mean, that's just common sense. So point one to the new believer, tell them to schedule prayer times. Give them permission to do that and then encourage them to do it. Second, tell them this. Oh, if you'll tell them this, this will mess with them. This will mess with them, and it's a good season for every new believer to go through this and feel the pains of how impossible it is and yet how much it seems like a desire and how right it seems. Do this. Challenge them and go, oh, yeah, and after you've scheduled times, then pray all day. Just never stop. From the moment you wake up to the time you go to bed, just pray all day. He's always there. He's always listening. You don't have to book an appointment with him. Keep scheduling those times. Whatever you do, don't stop scheduling those times. But then as soon as the time's over, keep talking. You're driving in your car, keep talking. You're showering, talk to God. There's a pause in the conversation, have a little side conversation with Jesus. Sneak one in. No one will even know. Talk to God all day long. You will bless their life so much because here's what they'll find out. God is talkable to all day long. I'm at the zoo. I'm on top of a building. I'm swimming in a pool. I'm under the water and I can talk to God. I can talk to God at bedtime, in the morning, at mealtime, at second mealtime. I can talk to God. And this will set them on such a course for relationship. It's all about relationship with Jesus. It's about relationship, which is communication. Tell them to talk to Jesus all day long. And you know what they'll do? They'll talk to Jesus all day long. The tire pops and they go, oh, Lord, help me with my tire. Their friend gets engaged. Oh, Lord, that's awesome. My friend got engaged. That's great, Lord. Thank you. They see somebody hurting. Oh, Lord, help that person. They'll be engaged. They'll think it's normal. If you tell them it's normal, they'll think it's normal. Let me tell you what's not normal. The version of Christianity where we have only the smallest opportunities. That's how we feel. The smallest opportunities to approach God in prayer and the rest of the week is off limits. That's not right. That is so far off. That is so religious. That is so the formality of a false religion. That's how all the other religions are. At this time and when you do this, but never other any other times. We're in a relationship with God. I wish I didn't have to sleep or talk to people, or even want to, so I could just talk to him all the time. Oh, we've got to set him right. We have such power to impact the life of a new believer by helping them see things clearly, far clearer than maybe we were shown in those early days. I just think about how dangerous I'd have been. Somebody would have told me this stuff. It would have been crazy. The kindness that we can share. The incredible acceleration that we can give to new believers by telling them simple things like pray all day. And when they come back to you the next week and they go, man, this praying all day thing is hard. I go, I know, isn't it great? They go, I don't feel like I'm doing it. Oh, keep trying. They'll work out all the details. Just tell them to be encouraged to pray all day. And what you're really after is that they would try to be engaged with the Lord at every available thought, at every available moment. Every time they remember, I'm not engaged with the Lord right now, to be re-engaged with the Lord. What a healthy way to set things right for them. And then the third thing, again, the first, develop set prayer times. The second, pray all day. I mean, just if they fall way short, they still will have shot so much higher and have wound up attaining so much more reality and reaching for Jesus. It will be awesome. So first, set times of prayer. Second, pray all day. Third, join regular corporate prayer meetings. Why? Why do I put this on the list? Because I'm the director of the prayer room? Nope. I put this on the list for a number of reasons. If they will join a regular prayer meeting with other believers, a number of things will happen. One, they will be forced to pray for things they would not have thought to pray for in their own personal prayer times. Like praying for the city, praying for the church, praying for the Lord's purposes in the earth, praying for the poor and the oppressed, praying for, you know, what the Lord is doing, praying for his kingdom to come and his will to be done in the earth. They probably would not have thought to pray for those things in their set prayer times. In their set prayer times, they probably would have prayed, Lord, help me, bless me, strengthen me, keep me on the straight and narrow, help me love Jesus. All good prayers, but not a complete prayer life. New believers need to be taught early, there is more to the kingdom than you. God loves you, but if you die, this whole thing still keeps going. So the world does not revolve around you. And while God loves you dearly, and he wants you to have a deep, intimate, passionate, individual relationship with him, that's not all that's going on down here. The Lord desires to use you as part of his kingdom. And a big piece of that is that you learn how to pray for the things God cares about beyond our micro little world, that which we can see with, you know, within a 20-foot distance of wherever we're at. The Lord has purposes. So to invite them into a corporate prayer meeting will allow them to expand their heart into God's purposes in a greater way. That will be good for them. Another point, they will pray more if they have yet one more scheduled time of prayer. Remember the first one? Schedule times of prayer? Well, here's another one you're sneaking in on them. You're sneaking another one in. You're saying, hey, now schedule a corporate time of prayer where you and three believers are getting together in your living room and praying. Where you're meeting up with some people at the church and you're praying every week. Where you're getting together, however, just where you're together with believers and you're praying on a regular basis and there's accountability because they said they'd be there. Accountability will be good for them. Hearing other believers pray is another point. If all I ever did was hear my voice pray to Jesus, I would have a very limited perspective of what prayer looks like. I would have only heard my voice. But to schedule times with other believers who have genuine relationships with Jesus, I'll learn things from them by hearing them pray. I'll be able to, when they pray something that I would have never even thought to pray, I'll be able to go, yeah, Lord. And by myself, I'd never get a, yeah, Lord, prayer. Not one. Because all I'd have is my own voice, and I would never yell, Lord, me. But I'd do it to somebody else and allow my heart to engage in what other people were praying for. I'll be learning. I'll be listening. I'll get into fellowship with them. Corporate prayer isn't a good idea. It's a great idea. And a new believer needs to hear, schedule times of prayer, try to pray all day, and schedule, join a regular corporate prayer meeting. And if they'll do this, you know what you'll do for them? You will help them cultivate a real life of prayer. Won't happen overnight, but it'll happen. If they'll stay committed to those three things, where will they be in 6 months, a year? You know what? I happen to know the answer to where they'll be 6 months or a year, because there's a number of you in this room that you got saved in this context. And this is what we told you. We told you, schedule times of prayer. Maybe it wasn't a sit-down conversation we had with you, but you were instructed in that. Schedule times of prayer. Then talk to God all day long. Like whatever's going on, talk to him. And then join regular corporate prayer meetings. And you've done it, and you know what happened? You blew up. You grew in God so much. You move God's heart. You know Jesus deeply. You've cultivated a real life of prayer. It took a little bit of time, But with intentionality on these three points, you got it. Do the same for that next new believer. Give them this incredible gift called a life of prayer. Give it to them as a kindness. Instruct them in these three things. Oh, they'll be so grateful to you. I don't know how many times I see, you know, one of the ones that I'm thinking of right now that will come up to me or somebody else that's been a part of the process of discipleship in the area of prayer and just go, oh man, thanks so much. Just thanks so much for making this normal. Thanks so much for telling me just the simple stuff about God that's just caused my heart to come so alive. You can be that for many, many others, but you've got to be intentional, and they need to hear it. It's the reason Paul told the church of the Colossians to be devoted to prayer, because they needed someone to tell them, hey, whatever you're doing, be devoted to a life of prayer. Well, I'm going to give you a couple more little points here on something that you can hand off to a new believer. I just got my thought on this is essential parts of a prayer life. So we've said so far, you know, that you want them to have the structure of set scheduled times, pray all day or try, and have those corporate prayer meetings. But let me give you some elements of a prayer life that will just help that new believer. And you'll think about this and you'll go, many of you will go, oh yeah, I'm doing that already. I'm so glad I'm doing that. Maybe a couple of these points you'll go, I'm not really doing that. I probably need to start doing that. That'd be helpful. That would be healthy to do that. Some essential elements to have a prayer plan. You know, when I gave the pray all day, have set times, and join corporate prayer meetings, that's part of the plan. But it's not the whole deal. Part of the plan is to make a commitment of when you will pray. But the next part of it is to schedule what you're actually going to do when you approach God during that prayer time. So here's the difference. You look at your schedule. I have set aside 5 hours every day to pray. Probably not realistic for most of you. I have set aside an hour every day to pray. Very realistic. Great. What are you going to pray about today? Well, I've got my prayer time coming up, and I'm going to pray. We've established that. That was good. Glad you're going to pray. What are you going to pray for? You know, prayer stuff. Yeah, you know, you're probably going to get bored. If you don't have a plan during that prayer time, if you just come with the plan to pray, you may not be so super successful. It's like a guy who's going to start a business. He has absolutely no business strategy whatsoever. What are you going to start a business? Sure am. I know the name of my company. I know my target audience. I'm ready to start a business. Great. What are you going to do next? Oh, just start a business. You will fail. You will not start a business. You'll start a mockery. You're like the guy who started building a tower and didn't count the cost. You got to have a strategy, a plan to be successful. It's not enough to have a good idea. It's not enough to have zeal in your heart to start a business or to start a prayer life. There needs to be an action plan for long-term success. Now, that action plan could be really, really simple, but no plan is a bad plan. You want to encourage that new believer? Schedule the time and then schedule what you're going to do during the time. You got an hour set aside a day to pray? That's awesome. How are you going to fill that hour? You need to encourage them to have a plan. We'll talk a little bit about what can go in that plan here in a minute. Part of it is giving them even something as simple as the idea of prayer lists. That's the beginning point. A commitment of when they pray, a commitment of what they want to pray for, and even a commitment of how that time can be structured. Now, let me give you something really, really simple that may sound so, you know, duh, why are you even saying it? But it's important that you let the new believer hear this. Tell them this statement. Have a plan and be willing to let the Holy Spirit completely hijack your plan. Tell them that. That way they don't feel obligated that they've got to go through the list. The list is there to help them on the days that they're bored. The list is there to help them when they don't know what else to pray. The list is there to help them kind of jumpstart the conversation with the Lord. But if they feel obligated to the list, prayer will become dull and boring and irrelevant to them. So tell them, listen, if you feel the Holy Spirit on something, go with that. That's awesome. That's good. Do that. But when you don't feel the Holy Spirit just jarring your heart, just causing you to be, you know, to leap for joy about something, have a plan and follow it. And a great plan is to have a prayer list. Well, what's a prayer list? Have a list of things that you want to be praying for. You know, new believers, this is something that you can really help them with. Because many times when they come to know the Lord, they don't have a clue what it is that they should be focusing on in their times of prayer. Because as soon as they've prayed, God, help me feel you more, help me feel you more, and they prayed that for about 5 minutes, they don't know what else to pray. You can be so kind, such a discipler in giving them some clear ideas about some of the things that they can pray for, giving them a target, and then letting them kind of fill out the details of that target. Here's what I mean by that. Give them just a few prayer points. Like, hey, when you make a list, list out some things that are about the intimate relationship you want to have with Jesus. Things like, God, I want to be your friend. Pray, put it on a list. Friendship with God. Talk to God about how you want to be his friend. Just points of the relationship, intimacy. How you want to feel his presence. What a great prayer for a new believer to pray. God, I don't want to just do this. I want to feel your presence. You know what happens if they'll pray that more? They'll start feeling God's presence more. That'll be awesome. New believers that feel God's presence are dangerous. Because they'll believe everything else in the Bible too. If they feel God's presence when they pray, they will continue to press in. Other points of intimacy. You know, praying. Just that the friendship would grow, that they'd be able to feel his presence, that the Bible would come alive to them. Another point, praying for their personal life needs. Tell them, make a prayer list. You're talking to a new believer that's known the Lord for like 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever. You're talking to him and you're going, hey, don't you have a lot of stuff in your life that you'd like to see God like break in on? Yeah, man, my job's like horrible. Great, write your job down on a prayer list and pray for it. God, help me with my job. Awesome. What else? Man, since I came to know the Lord, my family doesn't get me at all. Man, our relationships are really strained right now. Awesome. Pray about that. What else? Well, man, I realize my best friend doesn't know Jesus. Pray about that. Put best friend on the list. Put the guy's name on the list and pray for him. That he would come to know Jesus like you came to know Jesus. Yeah, I can pray for that. And you help them step through a few of these things, and all of a sudden they start to see all these needs in their life that they can approach Jesus about and talk to him about. But sometimes when we just are in the daily grind of life, we forget some of the stuff, which is why a prayer list is really, really helpful. Don't let them be bound to it like they've got to pray through it. But man, give him that as a tool. And then the last point would be for his purposes. For God's purposes to be met. This is a type of prayer for God's, for his power and his justice to break in on bigger purposes beyond their own. Things like revival in their city. Things like the ending of abortion. Things like justice. You know, for the orphan. Call them to partner with God's purposes. Like, things like the church in the region. God loves the church in the region. New believer, do you pray for God's church to continue to grow up into God's purposes? They probably look at you and go, no, I never even thought about that before. You're a powerful believer now. You have authority in the Spirit. When you pray, things shake and shift. Pray for some of God's purposes to happen. And then pray for spiritual breakthrough. What does that look like? Spiritual breakthrough. For the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be released in their life. I can remember this season of life. Oh, I can remember it so well. The season of life where I got a hold of this idea. There are gifts in the Bible that Jesus says he gives to the body of Christ. And he wants the body of Christ to operate in those gifts. And when the body of Christ operates in those gifts, really cool stuff happens, and these gifts are awesome. And I can pray for them? Introduce them to the idea of praying for spiritual gifts. In this season of my life, when I was, you know, I had just known the Lord for 8 months to a year, I started to come across these spiritual gifts that I could pray for, that I could ask the Holy Spirit to begin to impart into my life. It changed everything. Because I started seeing the Holy Spirit manifest in powerful ways in my life. Point them to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14 and just leave them there for a while. Just say, oh, hey, by the way, why don't you read these few chapters and we'll talk next week. They'll come back. Their eyes will be bug-eyed. They'll be coming out of their skull going, oh my gosh, gifts of healing and prophecy and faith. And what are these tongues? What does that even mean? They'll come back with all these questions and go, pray for them. Pray for God to start moving in your life in these ways. Oh, it will jazz their life. It'll give them so much joy and direction. And they'll see the power of God moving in their life. And then tell them to pray for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You guys all know the Galatians passage. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Ask them to pray for those gift or those fruit to start showing up in their life, because you know what new believers are really good at is zeal without knowledge. But you know what they're not so awesome at? Big fruit hanging on the tree. A lot of times believers, there's fruit there, it's real, it's budding. But there's a lot of work to be done. A lot of work in all of those categories. Tell them, Lord, tell them to pray, Lord, help me to have more joy. Help me. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I've got a little joy. Help me have more joy. God, I'm not so patient. Help me to have more patience. God, I want to be faithful. I've known the Lord 2 weeks. I'm the most faithful believer I know. You got a long way to go, little whippersnapper. Help me to be faithful in my walk with Jesus. Tell him to pray for the move of the Holy Spirit in the area of the fruit of the Spirit in their life. And then the final one, and we'll close, is for them to pray for the wisdom of God to be imparted to them. You know, as a new believer, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and even the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they can still be a total knucklehead and not understand a lick about spiritual things. Ask them to pray for wisdom every day. I can remember my first, months and years in Christ, I fell in love with the book of Proverbs. And I would pray pretty much every day, God, give me wisdom far beyond my years, because I know I'm a total idiot. And I would pray just like that. I go, Lord, I don't understand anything. I like you. I'm glad I'm saved. It's awesome. I have no idea what's happening. I have no idea what's going on around me. I have no spiritual understanding. Not a lick of anything spiritual makes a lick of sense to me at all. Lord, fill me with wisdom far beyond my years and far beyond my experience. Fill me with wisdom. And you know what the Lord does with, you know, happy little hearted people that love Jesus and say, fill me with wisdom far beyond my years? He fills them with wisdom far beyond their years. Invite them to pray violent prayers like, Lord, make me wise for your purposes. Now, here's my point with tonight's message. I just blew through like 20 little tips. Like, tell them this, tell them this, tell them this, tell them this. I don't expect you're going to remember all those. If you remember three, sweet. Maybe you remember three and you remember a different three and you remember three of the same three, but you remember one extra one. Awesome. This is great. Encourage new believers to cultivate a life of prayer and give them some tips. Just give them a handful of those things I just told you. And if you'll do that, they will grow in lives of prayer. And remember, the relationship with Jesus is entirely founded on communication. So if they'll talk to God about stuff called prayer, they'll grow in their life with Jesus. And as a new believer, they'll grow from new believer to not so new, to a little bit mature, to way mature. And they'll do it because you gave them some simple instruction points. Be committed to a life of prayer.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.